enhance it even more.
You're listening to 2 Cents Radio with Rob, Nico, and Nick. This is episode 375 for March 30th, 2024. Hi, everybody. I'm Rob.
This is Nico.
Nick here.
Hello, everybody.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Happy end of March.
Yes. Happy Easter.
Happy tomorrow. Easter. Yeah, that's right.
Happy
that's
Easter.
Tomorrow. Good Lord.
Happy Easter. He has risen, everyone. He is risen.
Yeah. Bunny?
The bunny from his hole to bring eggs.
Oh, good.
So if he sees his shadow, it's 6 more weeks of winter?
No, he's got to be in the grave for 3 days, and then he comes out to see his shadow.
Yeah, that's when we get late Easter.
What a bastardization.
And then everybody's like, he's back.
Why did a bunny get associated with the most holy day in Christianity?
I would love to tell you.
Listen,
the
you don't
history
understand.
Of Easter.
When you cue Nick up for this question, it's like when Putin talks about the history of Russia. You get like a whole spiel.
Easter was combined with the pagan holiday Asteria, which is about fertility. And rabbits are a representative creature of fertility because they breed like rabbits.
Right.
And eggs, too.
What's
baby.
Up, Doc?
Yeah, what's up, Doc?
It's a fertility holiday.
Yeah,
mixed
they used
with
to.
Jesus
they used
being.
To use rabbits for pregnancy tests.
How's that?
Before like at home pregnancy tests,
you
were
stick
done,
them in there and you see if he feels anything.
Yeah, I think they injected the pee from a woman into a rabbit. I believe that this is a thing.
What
Let me
the
look
fuck?
This up. Using rabbits for pregnancy tests. Let's see.
It's crazy that what I thought you were going to say is a lot more humane.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Which
a rabbit in a woman's cooch.
I thought you were just going to piss on a rabbit.
Yet another way of using urine was introduced in the 1920s and 30s. First, mice or rabbits were injected with a pregnant woman's urine and killed to see how their ovaries change.
Oh, my God.
Later, live toads were the preferred species, were used instead and injected with women's urine.
But if they were injected with a pregnant woman's urine, then you already know she's pregnant.
No, but
so
that was
so they were just killing rabbits.
That was the case of, you know, you don't know if you're pregnant or not. You go to the doctor to see if you're pregnant.
Right.
So they took some pee.
The doctor just clubs a rabbit in front of you.
Well, no, they had to inject it with your pee first, and then they clubbed it.
He just sticks a needle in.
I wonder if they had the same problem of like, is that a plus sign? Is that a minus sign? I can't tell the blue there. I don't know. It's a little faded.
The tests were considered reliable with an error rate of less than 2%.
Oh, yeah. Better than what we got now. Now you got to buy like 5 at Walgreens and hope for the best.
Wow.
Yeah, it did require the use of a live animal.
Wonder why they stopped that.
Yeah, I wonder. The term rabbit test was first recorded in 1949.
Okay, that is a term I've never heard before. Rabbit test is not like part of the lexicon.
And was the origin of a common euphemism, the rabbit died, for a positive pregnancy test. So if you wanted to, you know,
Are
say
you
it in kind of code, it's your family like, I went to the doctor today. The rabbit died.
Yay! Wow! I'm going to use that now.
I'm imagining there's a rabbit shortage, so they put 3 women's urine in, and they're just like, one of y'all.
One
maybe
of
2,
you.
Maybe all 3. Good luck.
I'm going to be like, did the Knicks cover the spread last night? The rabbit died.
The rabbit died. Yay!
I'm going to use that for only good news.
Like that. That's funny.
Oh, man. Now, Nick, can you kind of dig in a little more here to what the term fertility holiday means? Was it just like a lot of fucking? Is that what was happening?
Well,
I think it was the day
probably,
you would like. Yeah, I think you would like basically pray for good fertility. Like,
okay. But you didn't take any action to.
I'm sure you did.
Okay.
I'm sure it depended on the culture.
you tilled the soil, so to speak.
Right.
You're trying to kill a rabbit.
or you had big raving orgies. I don't know. It really depends, I think, on the culture.
Sure.
I think that's what Nico's asking, though, is were there big orgies? I think that's what he's asking.
Kind of is what I'm getting at. Yeah. Was it like Midsommar? You know, that movie Midsommar with the.
Okay. So you pronounce Missouri instead of Missouri. But you say Midsommar.
I think that's how it's spelled, I believe. I think there's an A instead of an E in Midsommar.
I thought it was a U instead of an E.
Possibly. Then it's Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Midsommar. Okay.
Missouri.
Missouri.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay. No, I just didn't know what the protocol is this Easter. What I should be up to.
I think you should give little kids chocolate that okay. You know, and that's it.
That I know, yeah. Got it.
Yeah, not strangers, just little kids in your family.
I have 100 eggs for my little cousin. I have 100.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's good. That's what you should stick to.
Yeah, went all out this year.
Like real eggs or plastic eggs?
Not real. What, hard-boiled eggs? No,
yeah.
Plastic eggs with candy in it.
Oh, there's nothing better than a hard-boiled Easter egg.
That's what you guys used to do?
100 of them, Rob?
No, we wouldn't do 100, but maybe a couple dozen.
Are you eating 100? Wait, so did you go out in the yard and like find hard-boiled eggs as opposed to the...
Oh, yeah.
And you'd eat them afterwards and that'd be it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they'd be painted?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
And then I
guess I have to assume they did something before the plastic eggs.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were killing all sorts of rabbits before that. But.
So you guys have never dyed real eggs?
We've dyed eggs.
We've dyed them, but I've never personally eaten them, and I've never personally searched for them or rolled them down the lawn of the White House. You know?
Yeah. Like 4 days after Easter. Normally your mom is like, stah, and then she throws them away.
No, right, what we would do is do the hard-boiled eggs, have the Easter egg hunt, and then you could, they would take whatever people didn't eat, like just, you know, crack them open and eat them. They'd then take them and make deviled eggs over the leftovers.
Right. Now, does that sort of conflict with the whole Jesus thing on Sunday?
Probably.
We're deviling these eggs on the day Jesus riz from the dead.
But
I don't know why I said riz. Like it's like he's,
riz. Jesus
like he's risen somebody up. Rose.
But we were destroying the devil by eating them.
Oh, sure.
Oh, really?
With the help of Christ, we were destroying the devil.
And killing some rabbits in the process.
Yeah, well... I was never a pregnant woman in the 1920s, so.
But you are one in the 2020s.
Let's head down and test a rabbit. Did the rabbit die? Jesus.
Yeah. So happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Hope you enjoy. Never personally my favorite holiday. Sort of on the bottom of the list.
I always enjoyed Easter because it felt like winter was over. Like spring is coming. Like, you know, it's just.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Something to that.
Things start to green up. Except around here, we had a blizzard last week. So,
right.
Or earlier this week. So.
Right. I think the groundhog kind of lied his ass off this year, too.
That groundhog. What a load of shit that thing is.
No good groundhog.
Why has that tradition survived? Of all of the traditions that could survive.
Yeah, and the rabbit pregnancy does happen. I mean, it's really not right.
I think it's, I mean, is it just the timing?
There's just nothing else going on?
Probably.
I mean, like, there are other things going on in February, but.
Yeah, you got Valentine's Day, you got the Super Bowl, you got,
True. Yeah. What the hell is keeping that fucking groundhog going?
Yeah. It's kind of inconvenient too, because it's, you know, usually the Super
Bowl week.
So
miserable. It's cold.
Right. And it's cold and it's exactly.
You gotta travel to Punxsutawney.
Right.
And every year I have to get in my fucking car and I have to drive
make
8 hours
religious
to Punxsutawney.
Pilgrimage to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
I have to get in my
to
my
the Wailing
buggy.
Wall or whatever.
The weather-predicting groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, and his partner Phyllis have sprung a surprise nobody saw coming.
I didn't know there was a Phyllis.
welcoming two baby groundhogs into the world.
Oh,
we had no idea, handlers say, as Pennsylvania groundhog who predicts when winter will end and his partner spring a surprise.
We had no idea because we only check in on the fucker once a year.
Yeah. In a post on Wednesday, the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club Inner Circle of Pennsylvania. all capitalized.
I imagine this is like some fucking big money cabal, like running the small town of Punxsutawney. It's like,
I think it's just three guys that haven't shaved in 40 years. I think that's all it is.
You don't think it's like you want a permit to like build? You got to like slip them a few buckaroos.
Oh, no, definitely right. Maybe some connections to organized crime.
They got like a handlebar mustache. And...
sure. Yeah. Maybe there's some guys from Pittsburgh that come down and break your kneecaps if you don't play.
Oh, right. Yeah. I love that.
In a post on Wednesday, the PGCICP announced to the news saying, "We have babies."
The rabbit died.
Yeah, the rabbit died.
Now, when Phil and Phyllis disagree on whether or not they saw their shadow, like, do they get in, like, a giant argument? They don't talk for, like, do they have to, like, one has to sleep on the couch? Like, what's going on here?
Probably.
Like, whose word do they take? Because there's two groundhogs.
Oh, well, you have to take Punxsutawney Phil's.
I think it's Phil's job.
Word for
it's
it.
Phil's job.
I think okay. It's his job. I mean, he's...
oh, okay.
I'm sure Phyllis has her own work. I mean, she's a...
well, she's got to take care of two babies
woman.
Now.
Right.
That's so no, antiquated,
she's
Rob.
More than a housewife, Rob. It's 2024, okay?
She probably writes, like, crime novels.
Yeah, oh, okay. Maybe. Or she, like, true crime. Yeah, she, like, sells essential oils or something.
She writes
we
crime
just
novels.
Made that so much worse. We should have just...
Don't you dare say cut it, Nick, because it's staying in there.
Oh, there goes my job. No, I'm just kidding.
This year, Phil predicted an early spring. However, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Phil's prediction have only been right, guess, how many percent of the time over the past decade?
I don't even know how we define right.
I'm going to say 50% plus or minus 5.
How do we define that in turn, like...
I have no idea. This is according to the
like
National
early spring.
Oceanic.
So, with a shadow means early spring, right?
Yes.
And then the no shadow means 6 more weeks of winter, or vice versa.
Or vice versa. I think okay. It's vice versa.
So 6 more weeks of winter means from Groundhog Day, February 2nd. 6 oh. weeks from then will be the end of winter.
March 14th.
And an early spring means there will be spring sooner than that. Correct.
Yeah. I'm assuming it has to do with like. Temperatures.
Okay. So just it gets warmer in February.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an actual standard that NOAA uses.
So I'll say that it's probably 50-50 that the seeing of the shadow or not seeing the shadow is probably about 50-50. And I'd say I'll say he's right 25% of the time.
Yeah, well, 30% of the time. Yeah. Fucking worthless Phil. Get Phyllis out here to do a man's
ready
work.
To turn him into a scarf, bro.
How long do groundhogs live? They don't have a very long.
Phil's
long
been around for centuries. So I don't know what you're talking about.
They don't have a very long shelf life.
He's immortal.
So I would say groundhogs live to be like 8. Groundhogs live.
I'm going to say 6.
I'm going to say 25.
Oh, 3.
Uh-oh. I mean, next year, Punxsutawney's baby is going to be the one doing the fucking...
Yeah, why are they surprised that they made it? I mean, isn't that like the whole enterprise is making sure we have new Punxsutawney fills every year?
No kidding.
Wow.
3 years on average. Some of them can live up to 6, it says, so.
They probably take good care of Phil.
Yeah. Where do they keep him in that same hole the whole year? Like, what's the... Can I, like, into Punxsutawney and see him?
No, because it sounds like, let's see, in this article. The babies are currently in with mom and dad at the zoo that is located at the Punxsutawney Memorial Library.
Got it.
And can be viewed through the viewing window.
Got it.
So I think they take him out of the zoo for a day, pop him in a hole.
Yeah.
And then the
pretend
news cameras
that he's living in the hole.
Yeah, yeah. Then the cameras turn on. They're fucking.
Right.
But it's like this tree stump that they pull him out of. It's like this.
Right.
Winnie the Pooh looking fucking tree stump that they open this door on. Funny.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should take a road trip to Punxsutawney to see Punxsutawney Phil in the zoo.
I drive through it.
You do?
A lot of times I drive past signs that say Punxsutawney.
Oh, you got to stop one day.
Yeah.
You think that's what I want to fucking do when I'm doing my 12-hour drive? I want to stop in fucking Punxsutawney. No thanks.
And then every time, whenever I drive out there, whenever I go through Scranton, I always think I want to see something office related, but they don't really have any office related things in Scranton.
No, I take it they don't really like the legacy.
Yeah. Was the opening filmed in Scranton?
It was.
Is that actual Scranton?
It was. I don't think that sign exists anymore, the Welcome to Scranton, although I might be mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think there's a mural at the Scranton Mall, but I think like that's it, like there really isn't anything there.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't even know if they filmed it in, or the opening anyway, in yeah. Scranton, because sometimes they just say, oh, yeah.
Right. Well, the whole show was filmed in L.A. It was like an office building. Yeah.
Yeah,
I always think that. The Yankees minor league team is in Scranton. That's the only thing there.
Oh, really?
It is a sad place. It's sad place.
The only other fact place I know is I'm pretty sure Joe Biden was born there.
Was he?
Joe Biden. I believe he was born in Scranton.
How would we know? Because Joe Biden ran a train across the fucking Francis Scott Key Bridge. He was riding a train across that fucking bridge, according
okay,
to him.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, he was born in Scranton.
Got it.
Yeah, that's all I got. Office, sad baseball team, and Joe Biden born there.
I will say the video of the bridge, now that Rob brought it up in a less than elegant way, is the like most disturbing fucking thing I've ever seen.
Oh, isn't that fucking
like,
terrible?
When I woke up to that and I opened my phone up and I it was the first thing I saw on Twitter, and I'm like, this is not the way I want to start my morning or spend my life looking at things like this.
What is amazing to me, and I know that all of the videos that most people have watched are sped up, like by 8 times or whatever. It wasn't
oh, is that
as
right?
Quick. Yeah. I mean, that the 2-minute video that you saw was probably sped up over a span of 8 minutes, maybe 6 minutes. I mean, it's a longer period of time. So it is sped up, but it is still amazing to me that they were able to close the road, the bridge, in time. That's just,
although they weren't able to get some construction workers off, right?
The construction workers were on there filling in potholes, it sounded like.
Yeah.
But the fact that a mayday call from a boat like that immediately shuts down the toll lanes and the whole bridge itself is just amazing to me. I mean it's an amazing coordination that has to happen.
Well,
that's
one of the good things, I guess, about technology.
Absolutely.
Especially because it was at like 1 a.m, right?
Yeah, it was like 1:30.
Like, you would not be able to do that. It makes a lot of sense that was sped up, those videos, because I was wondering, or maybe just postulating how lucky we were that
it was
filmed at all.
Postulate, Nick, on Two Cents Radio.
Sorry.
<Okay. laughs> Watch your fucking tongue.
Just thinking how lucky's not exactly the right word, but like what are the chances that bridge was actually being filmed when that happened? But knowing that there is an 8-minute period of time makes a little more sense.
But here's the thing. Like, people are fascinated with bridges. So a lot of bridges have a live stream to them just because fucking people have a fascination with bridges.
Yeah, there's a documentary.
There's a lot of cameras in the world.
Yeah. Well, now there are. Now it's like, I mean, there's footage of 9/11. I mean, there's people that were filming the Twin Towers, you know, when that happened.
Yeah, that's also crazy.
It is, yeah. That one camcorder footage is like perfect. Like, it's crazy. Especially, yeah, pre-phones too.
Yeah.
There's a documentary, I think it's about the Golden Gate Bridge, or maybe it's the Brooklyn Bridge. And I think it's just called The Bridge. And a guy sets up a camera for a year and
Golden Gate.
Is it Golden Gate? Yeah, and films all the people jumping off.
Yeah. Because wasn't the guy that made the movie, was he the one that survived? He
yes,
went to commit suicide
so. Yes.
And survived.
Yes.
And I believe he was, I don't know if he was the sole creator of the movie, but I think he was involved in that.
Right.
Because that guy actually came and talked at our school.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
Is it Tad Friend? Is that his name?
I think so.
Yeah, he wrote an article. So. I'm looking at it now. He wrote an article called Jumpers for the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Because I've heard this, you can probably speak better on it, but I've heard that at the people that do survive on their way down, they often regret it. The yeah. instinct kicks in, the survival.
That's what he said. Yeah. That's what he said. The first thought he had was, oh my God, I fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he jumped.
Right. Right.
And that's all he thought of on the way down. Oh, he also said he had a thought on the way down. If there's anything that I could do to reverse this, I would, you know?
Yeah.
And he says that memory stuck with him.
Yeah.
So yeah. tragic.
Yeah.
It's crazy because that is like uniformly what people think too.
Yeah.
Like it's not just him. So it's like
yeah.
all the people that didn't survive, that's what they're thinking in their last yeah. moments.
When did that movie come out?
We should figure out a way to invent a scenario where people think they're killing themselves, but not actually killing themselves.
Like reality TV.
You know, like we should like put them like really depressed people, you know,
wow. It's like, I know I think you're actually coming from a good place. Like, I think your heart is in the right place. I know you're not just being an asshole right now.
No, I'm being 100% serious.
I don't know that.
I'm being 1,000,000% serious.
I know that you're truly, you truly believe this is a good
yeah.
idea. I know right now you truly believe this is a good idea. But I want you to sit on it for a day and listen back to yourself.
No, but like,
here,
what if we could actually put people through this? But guarantee that they don't die.
Like, yeah, I know. It sounds really
It's great. Good. It's a I'd win the Nobel Prize if I invented this.
Head to the Stratosphere in Vegas and strap in.
You know? Just tell people like they don't have a parachute on and then just launch the parachute at the last second.
Yeah. So you want like a Tony Stark Iron Man thing that when he gets thrown out of the window by Loki in Avengers, he has to wait for his suit to come catch him halfway
down. Or maybe
down.
Some kind of like invisible net.
Oh,
you know, like on the bottom of the bridge or whatever. And
I really do think that at the below the Golden Gate, there is a net of some sort.
Oh no! Now they have
invisible.
A net. Yes, they yeah. do now. All these places, the Empire State Building, all this stuff has those things.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, what if you make it a secret net?
Yeah, I understand.
It's covert, and so like, you know what I mean?
It detects when you jump, and it deploys.
Oh,
like an airbag.
Just yeah, poof. That'll be safe.
Do you know how many lives we just saved right now, Nick?
Free falling and you get punched with an airbag from the side. There we go. We just saved a life.
Saved a life.
Oh, wait. No, actually, we just gained a liability. Oh, great. Now we're being sued.
Yeah.
You're just making me think of, like, God, this is so morbid. Those, what was it, like The Onion releases video of like a suicide machine? You sit inside and you press,
yes.
You like put the money in.
No, that's
in,
a
press
real
the
thing.
Button.
That wasn't
claw
Onion.
Comes. The claw? The claw
oh,
coming
the claw,
and twisting your head
no,
off?
No, not the claw. Yeah. No, there yeah. was there was one invented in like Sweden or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where assisted suicide is legal. Yeah. They're pods, and I think that they fill them up with nitrogen.
Right.
And you just fall asleep.
And they're like $10,000 or something.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think you have to, it's like a medical procedure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas I think the way people think of it is the way Futurama portrayed it, where you could just walk up to like a, almost like a phone booth on the street. They're just yeah. public use. He just, I remember Bender like sticks a quarter in and then he pulls it back out with a string and he's like, ha-ha, and then he goes to kill himself. He just didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, imagine just sinking that much money into killing yourself, you know? Like, imagine paying for it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Something that nature is going to take care of eventually in 50 years.
That's a scam. You're right.
You know? Yeah. Right.
You're right.
It's like paying for bottled water.
Some people don't. Some people are that do this are terminally ill and don't want to suffer.
Yes, I get that.
Rob.
I guess.
Stop ruining the bit.
Yeah, right. We're trying to make comedy.
You're
people's
right.
Pain and suffering, okay?
Forced euthanasia is a scam. You are so right, Nico. Assisted suicide. What a scam.
It's a scam. Nature has it. It's available to you.
No, but Rob, of course, is right.
Yeah.
God, we're so, I hate being adults. We have to like qualify all of our jokes now.
I know.
We can't just be like, haha, funny, and then move on. No.
Yeah.
I'm still serious about my suicide bridge idea. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Had either one of you been across this bridge?
The Francis Scott Key Bridge?
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
I genuinely don't know. I was in Baltimore like a month ago.
Oh, wow.
See, I suspect not, though.
This is where you and I are different in the fact of I would absolutely remember if I crossed a bridge of that epicness, because that is an epic. Well,
and that's why
I suspect I didn't. But like, yeah, I don't think I really give it too much of a second thought when I cross a bridge. See.
Well, first off, bridges scare the shit out of me. Number one. And number two, I am fascinated by bridges. Like a neat bridge, I will stop and admire for a couple minutes.
But, how do you feel about trains, Rob?
I'm really indifferent about trains.
You're indifferent about trains?
Yeah, I'd really like, here's what I'd like to do. If there was a time machine, I'd like to go back and ride an old-timey passenger train, like, in my local area. Like, I'd love to see how the train worked here. Where I live. Because my dad grew up in a time where he could go just like a quarter mile from where he grew up, where, you know, you guys took the tour down there at Monowai, and get on the train and go see his relatives for the day and then take the train home that night. Like
it's probably harder to travel where you live now than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So like he said, every Sunday they'd go get on the train. Ride it for a half hour to go see the relatives, and then at night, take the train back home.
How do you feel about a national railway system, Rob?
It wouldn't work in this country.
This is politics kicks in.
No, it's
like,
not.
I miss the good old days of trains. It won't work. We're not doing it.
It's not politics. It's a matter of economics.
Right.
Also, this getting 50 states to all get on board with this plan.
It's more the state issue, I think, than anything.
I think what people forget is that the states, like places here in Nebraska, would all fight to have a stop. So you have people that are fighting for more stops along a train rail that is already full of stops, and it would just slow it down to a point of it not ever being economical.
Well, that's why you get express trains and stuff, but I get, yeah.
Yeah.
I see your point. I always love those videos of Europeans discovering how big America actually is.
No, I know. It's
like, they're like, the European mind can't appreciate how big the country is. Yeah. And then they show like Texas overlaid on Europe.
Yeah. Right.
There, I think we probably did this a couple of years ago, but there's a site that allows you to drag the states over other, you know, or countries over other countries with the curvature of the globe. So you can actually see the scope of these things.
I just recently saw a video here not too long ago of a European that's saying we only have a week in America. We're flying to New York, but we really want to see Disneyland. We're gonna check out California and the coast of California. We rented an RV to get all of this done, and it's like, you ain't even going to get out of the state of New York in a week.
Wow.
They have no idea. I mean, they're
right, because the truth is, when you go to like Italy or something, you're like, I want to go see Venice. I want to see Florence. I want to see. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but like when I traveled to Ireland, we went to three cities and we barely had time.
Right.
Like, I don't know what people are doing on their trips. It's like, all right, Empire State Building, check, move on. Go, 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 go.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's like, especially like we live around here. It's like, I mean, New York. You know, New York's a week.
But you had three cities planned in Ireland. Those people had three cities planned in the United States and thought that they were the same. Right. You know, those people had, we're going to visit New York, we're going to visit Orlando, we're going to visit Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Those are the three cities that we're going to hit. Yeah, it's tight to do it in Ireland, but man, we can make it happen in America. No, you fucking can't.
You can't even visit Northern and Southern California.
No.
That's a good week. Yeah. No, you know, you are right in the sense that, like, just one city gets the job done. I know, yeah. Like, you want to go somewhere, you want to see it all, you want to get the whole thing, but just go to one city and spend all the
time. I have, like, a new rule when I travel. It's like, I don't go to capitals anymore.
Right,
like,
smart. Yeah.
It's a waste of fucking time.
Yep.
And I like to just pick, like, one or two places and spend time there, and I like them to be kind of obscure.
Yep.
Yeah. I would rather get, like, a real experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and just, like,
that's
chill. I mean, no, but you think about it like it's your hometown or something. Or, like, right. The major city near you or whatever. It's like, you could plan a week itinerary for somebody in your area. Rob did, and it was in fucking nowhere, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a... Also, by the way, one of my favorite trips.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm not joking.
An amazing time.
We had so much fun.
An amazing time.
Michaela and I went to St. John, New Brunswick, Canada for, like, a week.
Right.
And everybody we met who lived there went, why are you here? That was, they were like, you know, we're at a restaurant and the waiter's like, oh, what are you doing here? We're like, oh, we're on vacation. And he's like, huh? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Are coal mines vacation destinations for you? Like,
do you it was
enjoy
a great
the
trip.
Soot on your skin?
We still think super fondly of that trip. It was so fun.
Yeah, no, it's.
Yeah. But how can you go wrong with Deadwood? Seriously,
you can't. Like, you can't.
Like, there is nothing cooler than an old timey Western town.
Oh, there's one thing cooler. Going to Deadwood in the heart of COVID and just seeing nobody else giving a fuck.
The Wild West, physical form.
That was a true Wild West experience.
It was the heart of COVID for you guys. It hadn't gotten here yet.
Right. There were more concealed carry pistols than there were masks.
Yes.
Yeah.
By like a metric of 100. I mean...
Nebraska's a permitless concealed carry state now. You don't
That's new.
That's new. Yeah.
Oh, we're getting more loosey goosey with the gun laws. Oh, yeah. Good to hear.
This is probably in the last 6 months, honestly.
Oh,
I'd say
great. What could go wrong?
What they don't tell you is that they're injecting all of the bullets with the COVID vaccine.
Yes.
Got him.
So yeah, Nebraska is now permitless concealed carry. You did need a permit and you did need to take a class before.
Right.
And they got rid of that.
Are we just going to let this, we're not going to bring it up?
That what?
That Rob is saying permit.
Oh.
We're not going to.
Permitless?
Permitless. We're not going to.
What?
I was going to let it go, but if you want to make a point
of
it, sure.
What's the word?
It's permitless.
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 You're saying permit.
Permitless.
Permit is the verb. Permit is the noun.
I've just never heard it said permitless. I'm not saying it's wrong. I've just never heard it. And I couldn't just sit there and move on. I mean, that was. My mind is blown.
Let's see.
I mean, there's nothing to argue here. I mean, it's permit.
You're
I've been
fine,
using
Rob.
That word since I was five. I mean, I don't know. That's what it is. What are we verifying here?
He's playing it from the computer.
Are you going to go to the Boitoigalois guy?
Boitoigalois.
That's the Boitoigalois guy.
Permitless. Permitless.
That kind of sounds like an in-between of what we just said, and I'm not sure what to do with that.
Yeah, I'm not either.
That robot voice is like not picking sides, being a...
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Boitoigalois. Boitoigalois.
Never gets old.
Never gets old. Unlike this show, it never gets
old. Oh, yeah. This show is fucking run its course.
Dude, all of our poor listeners that are just like, I want to know what's going on next week.
Oh,
yeah. Get to it. And we're just making them listen to all this garbage
first.
That's
true.
Okay, can we do 30 seconds on it, then we're moving on?
Yes.
We're not gonna dwell.
All right, let's not dwell.
Okay. Nick and I will definitely be in Cincinnati next week. There's some doubt cast on whether or not Rob can come.
Yes.
That's all we're going to say, right?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe he'll come and it'll be great.
I really am hoping to make it work.
Yes.
It's just up in the air right now.
It's up in the air for reasons that we don't have to get into. Yeah. But it's up in the air. But at the very
least,
it's
health related. It just comes down to health related, yeah. Which sucks and it depresses me. And that's why I don't want to dwell on it, because it fucking breaks my heart if I'm not going to be able to make it that day.
Yeah. The rabbit died and Rob needs to be with his betrothed. It's the medical issue.
But. We're still going to sit here and talk about it like I'm going to be there, because I really want to be there.
Yeah. At the very least, it's going to be like when, you know, Ringo and George show up to the event and there's no Paul or John, you know, like you ever see like at those conventions, it'll be like, hey, it's the cast of the Cosby Show, but Bill Cosby isn't there. It's just everybody else. It's like, it might be that.
This guy was an extra one time.
Yeah. Right.
Now he's playing Fade Ralpha.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it might be like that in Cincinnati, where you got the lesser two Beatles, but you know.
But the sunglasses are on their way to Nick.
Okay.
They should be there Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I did keep a two pair here, so you guys are short. You're only gonna have 38 sunglasses
to go around to all the people coming.
Michaela had secretly bought a few pairs for us as well, and she wanted to surprise me with them. And I was just like, you should have told me.
Yes.
We got like 40 pairs gone.
And I sent both of the smartphone filters.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome.
So that you can have that on your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
So those are in there.
And all the plans we discussed last time, just in case anybody's panicking, like, still on.
I got my plane ticket, my hotel room booked, and I'm there. So, whether or not I'm seeing anybody.
I just know we haven't recorded in a while, and some people might be getting a little antsy, so.
Yeah.
We have. For good reason, by the way, we haven't been recording. Maybe not always for good reason, sometimes not, but for the most part,
it's been for good reason.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple weeks that I could not have.
Yeah. So we've been away, and it sucks, but it is what it is. I mean, listen, it's the moon crossing over the sun. I mean, you've seen it once, you've seen it a million times.
I understand. I understand that you say that every time, Nico. The minute that you can take your glasses off. So here's
what's going to
happen.
Don't make it worse for yourself. I'm trying to lie to you, you asshole.
No,
I'm trying to soften the blow.
I'm trying to build it up because it is an awesome experience.
I'm trying
experience.
To soften the blow for you.
I know.
He'll be good.
No,
cop,
it's
I'll
amazing.
Cop,
it's like
Rob,
touching the finger of God, Rob. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, what do you want me to say? Your life will be forever changed.
So what's going to happen is you're going to watch the moon go in front of the sun, and there's going to be a point where there's only a tiny little dot of sunlight left, and they call that the diamond ring. That is, you still have to have your glasses on for the diamond ring because it is still very bright. But once that diamond ring disappears, you can take your glasses off and look at the atmosphere of the sun.
Mm.
It's wild. It's a wild experience
that you might be able to experience still. You know
I mean? Yeah. I mean, I'm still planning on it.
Yeah.
My heart is set on being there.
And by the way, I got the hotel room with two queen beds, so you don't have to worry about booking.
Oh,
things.
Sweet.
So if you want to just pop in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So we're good in that front. But Nick and I at least will be there, and we're probably gonna go see a Mets game and probably get tickets at the last second because
I like how you called it a Mets game, not a Reds game.
Yeah, because who cares? We're a little flexible on that because it's not like you have to buy tickets a long time in advance. We can probably get them
at
the game but
it's one of 186 baseball games.
162.
Well, it's also the Reds.
Yes, right.
I guarantee you they got seats.
And I think I talked about this with Nick. It's Matt McClain bobblehead day that day. And
oh, yeah. We talked about this on the last show.
So Matt McClain, I'm in a fantasy baseball league that for some reason I haven't quit yet. I continue to play this stupid fucking thing. And he was projected to go 40 on the big board. And all of a sudden he's at pick 200 and no one has picked him yet. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with Matt McClain? I just sort of followed the crowd and was like, all right, it seems like everybody's a little weary on Matt McClain. And I look at it, he might be out for the year.
Oh, wow.
So we're getting Matt McClain bobbleheads on the season that he's not going to play. But,
bobblehead. I've never owned a bobblehead.
What?
I need to get a bobblehead.
I have one right here.
You need to come to Cincinnati.
I know.
I have a Reggie Jackson bobblehead
so
right here from
cool.
Hoover Stadium.
Rob, we'll check two boxes.
That is so fucking cool. I love
it. It's got the AT&T branding on it, but this was one of the 40,000 they gave away that day.
Just how is the eclipse, Rob? Well, I got a fucking bobblehead.
I got a bobblehead. Fuck the eclipse. I'll come to the game.
You don't own a bobblehead?
I don't own a bobblehead.
You've never owned a bobblehead?
No, I've never owned a bobblehead.
Wow. Never. You better come then, bro.
Prepare to be disappointed.
Look, it goes this way and it goes that way and it goes up and down.
That one is so cool, though. I
that
love
that.
That
is a nicer
one
compared to many I've seen.
The bat fell off. I don't know if you can tell.
I thought he was just swinging an imaginary bat.
Yeah.
Mr. October. Yeah. Other than that, there's not really anything else to report. We're going to have a meetup at a brewery that we will announce as it gets closer, right? Mm-hmm. And then Nick and I are going to just hang out, right? We're just going to do things. We're just going to do things, right?
Yeah. We'll do things. We're going to go see stuff.
Yeah, we're just gonna. We're really gonna see stuff.
Might.
What are we gonna see?
Some cool bridges.
Nope. Pass.
Now you're talking.
No thanks.
How's the weather looking? Has anybody looked at the weather?
Oh, I don't even want to look.
Jesus.
Like I don't want to look at any of your X-rays.
I've heard
I don't
rumor.
Look at the weather.
I've heard some people say it might be cloudy, so I'm a little nervous about that, but it's so far out,
because
I don't trust.
Through Wednesday, it's like above 50% chance of thunderstorm and rain.
See, like right now, the app I'm looking at is showing.
No, this is, I'm sorry, through Wednesday the 3rd.
Of this week.
Yes.
Right. I'm seeing partly cloudy on Monday. Monday is the eclipse day, right?
I am seeing partly cloudy, which is not a big deal. It looks pretty warm. It's like looking like 70s. So
nice.
That's
good. I'm not too fussed. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it's so far out. I don't trust the weather until the day before.
Absolutely not. You can get a good idea a couple days before. But yeah, you won't have a really good idea until.
So we do think we have a location picked out for both the meetup and the actual eclipse meetup.
We think.
We think we do, but we want to stay flexible.
Yes.
Based on that. So
based on weather patterns, and we're going to have a balloon up there. We're going to really, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the 2 cents balloon.
Oh, the 2 cents weather balloon. Rob, how
much
of a
dream
of yours?
It's been shot down.
Dude.
It's been shot down.
Rob, how much of a dream would it be for you if you operated a 2 cents radio weather balloon?
Oh, it would
be
amazing.
That reported to like the weather service, and it had like the 2 cents logo on it.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing.
Would that just be like a dream? And that was your whole job, was operating that one weather balloon.
Oh yeah, I would die a happy man. I would probably, kill myself, because I would never be happy.
No, but then the net would come out, and you'd be all right. we're gonna track it. I think what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna like dive deep into like the eclipse subreddits and just really see what people are doing, you know what I mean?
I'm just gonna ask Michaela to look at the weather, because she is a very, very, very good weather predictor.
Okay.
That's what you were saying last time.
Yeah.
She's a good predictor.
Her and my father talk about the weather unironically. My dad is a landscaper.
Okay. Well, you're okay. I see that.
So he always talks about the weather unironically.
Right.
And Michaela and him will have conversations, like full on, like into it conversations about the weather. They are the two most weathery people I know.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea.
Well, because she, you know, all of her plants, she keeps track of the climate and all that.
Yeah. Punxsutawney Michaela over there.
Yeah. I'm sure her hit rate is better than 30 fucking percent. Some groundhogs I know.
Oh goodness. How are we doing on the brackets? The March Madness bracket contest. My winner just got knocked out last night, Nick, so I'm done.
Uh-oh. I am still holding strong, I think.
All you UConn sycophants out there.
Well, yeah, I'm not a UConn sycophant, luckily.
Sucking on Dan Hurley's teat.
Wow, we have a lot of people. 1 out of 14, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people have had their champ eliminated.
Oh, a it's tough.
I'm still in good shape. I have UConn, Purdue in the last game.
And Purdue won last night?
Yep.
Okay.
I am currently in second place behind the great Santini. By 10 points.
The great Santini. Great movie. Robert Duvall. Which Santini is it, by the way?
Todd.
Todd, okay.
How do I check my path to victory, that thing we found the other day, Nico?
I don't know. You're the one that found it.
Oh, group forecast? That's where it is.
Is that what it is?
Really? They've got that? How do you do that?
You have to go to the group forecast tab then show my path to win. Basically,
I have a 0% chance. I'm mathematically eliminated.
I also have a 0% chance to win.
So I need Purdue to win. That's basically my only way of winning is if Purdue wins.
Oh, there's only four people alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Remy with a 62% chance with UConn. He's the only guy with UConn. Oh, I see. Okay, because he's ahead of you and Rob, and you had UConn as well. But
yeah. So why do I have to why is my...
Because even if all of the rest of your games go right, somebody else still has more points than you.
I see. I gotcha. That's cool. That's an amazing calculation to have.
So I got a 1-4 shot.
You had a 1-4 shot. You got Sista A and Faith with a slim 4.8% chance, but Gonzaga won last night? Or no, they lose. I think Gonzaga.
I don't know.
I think Gonzaga lost, right? Yeah, I think they did. They lost to Purdue, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Nick, you got a shot here.
If it ends up being like Purdue-UConn, it's really just going to come down to that game.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, there's still, Purdue could still get kicked out soon. Although so could UConn, and then I don't know what the fuck happens from there. I mean,
right.
Actually, I think he still wins. I think it said his path to victory was just Purdue not winning.
Right.
And mine is Purdue winning. So yeah, those, Purdue, like,
when you change it to Purdue winning, your chance of winning goes to 100%.
Yeah. Well, no, that's it's my path is Purdue has to win and his path is Purdue has to lose.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So heads I win, tails you lose is kind of the situation that you're in.
I think it's not that, but
bigger chance of UConn winning, though, I think.
Whoever got fooled by that scam, by the way. Whoever fell for that one.
Nobody twice. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, my bracket it was absolutely putrid this year. Putrid. Yeah.
450 points, 31.2% right.
No, that's percentile. That's of total brackets. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm quite confident I'm going to lose, but I would love to win just once, and here's why. Every year, I do my bracket the exact same way. I have a formula that never fucking works. And just once, I'd like my fucking formula.
Remind me your formula. It's the top seed.
I always pick the higher seed unless they're one apart from each other, and then I pick the upset.
Right.
So if it's a 9 seed versus an 8 seed, I pick the 9 seed.
Sure.
I did a really bad job of paying attention this year. What were the big upsets? There were lots. There was no 16s over ones.
No. Yale beat my finalist, I think, Auburn in the first round. I had a couple of these too, which I'm mad about because I had some cool upsets. I had James Madison University in the first round over some big school. The bottom line is that UConn is just like steamrolling and everybody in my state is being very obnoxious about it. Very obnoxious.
As somebody who grew up in Connecticut, I have always hated UConn fans. It's so fucking annoying.
It's getting bad. I was just at an event I was at a funeral last night and everybody there, oh, are you watching UConn? Did you see UConn the other night? No, I didn't see UConn the other night. Didn't watch. I know they won by 30. Shut up.
Jesus Christ.
See UConn? Just see UConn. UConn's doing well. UConn. Sick of UConn.
This is why we need a professional team, so people shut the fuck up about UConn.
And now they would be the first team to go back-to-back since 07.
Wow, so long ago.
Yeah.
It's like if it happened in our lifetime, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
No, 1907.
Before James Naismith invented it in Springfield.
Exactly.
The future.
March Madness. I did a real bad job of keeping track of it this year just because of everything else going on.
And the fact that it's an unwatchable product.
It kind of has turned into that, hasn't it?
It's bad. It's bad these days. Yeah.
Like, their scheduling, first off, makes zero sense. So I think that that throws a lot of people off.
How so?
Just because, I don't know. It just seems like games are happening at the most random times. And, like,
the Thursday games are tough.
The Thursday games are tough, and the Saturday morning games are tough.
True. True.
That's, I think... And there's some big games that are happening or exciting games that are happening during those times that people are just missing.
Yeah.
And you miss one exciting, like for me, you miss a really couple good of exciting games and you're like, well, the exciting games for the year are fucking over. Mm. I'm not going to invest in any more games. So you peter out so quickly.
The bracket is a really bad way of doing it. Like, I know, like, everybody loves the bracket. You fill out the bracket. Yeah. But it's really done by day two.
Yeah.
Like, it really, it's like playing the Powerball. It's like, yeah, this is fun on paper, but then the second the first ball comes out, it's over. Your dreams are crushed. So it's like, what, you know, it's a tough way to follow. There's never
been a verified perfect bracket, correct?
No, of course not. No, I don't think that a perfect bracket has ever survived like three rounds.
Yeah.
Maybe not even two rounds. Yeah, usually you see like after 12 games, it's like the last perfect bracket has been knocked out or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. But it's also, I think, slimmer odds than the Powerball.
It is.
I think you have a better odds of winning the Powerball than you do of getting a perfect bracket. Yeah.
It's crazy.
But that's why, you know, 2008, when everything was, I feel like it was kind of the end of the golden era, they were given like $10 million for a perfect bracket. There was the $10 million perfect bracket.
That's not enough.
Challenge. No.
No, that's a ripoff.
Yeah. But that was peak, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just getting tough for me now. Just because, like, I really like the pro game and I like following these players from the beginning, but it's like it's really become a bunch of accountants and attorneys playing each other in these games. Like, it's people you will never hear from again.
It comes down to these wild upsets too that are just out of the ballpark.
Well, every game is 50-50 at the end of the day.
I have okay.
No, I'm serious. I mean, like, you, because especially last year with all the 16
it's getting
seeds.
More common. Yeah, it's getting more common. It didn't 2-1 seed. A one seed had never lost, and then it happened two times in the last 3 years or something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's getting to this. Like, I've talked about this before, but it's like, I do not care for underdog stories in sports. I like dominance. I like dominance and empires and dynasties. That's what I like.
But you would like an underdog story if it wasn't shoved down your throat 9 fucking times a year. You know?
Yeah, I just don't care. Like, if you're not going to win championships, I don't care.
Right.
Like, that's my thing.
Every year, there's 9 or 10 different fucking underdog stories that are shoved down our throat. And it's like, fuck these guys. Why?
There was this one kid. I was talking to Nick, I think, the other day about this. But there's this kid from Oakland that he was a transfer from, like, a very small Division III college last year. And he's, like, a fifth-year senior or something. And he upset... I'm forgetting the team already in the first round, and he went 10 for 20 from the 3-point line or whatever off the bench.
Jesus.
And it's like he had shot in the regular season, I think the number is 278 shots in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Only 8 of them were 2-pointers. The other 270 were 3-pointers.
Oh my God.
So it's just this white kid that can't move that stands behind the 3-point line and chucks it up. And it's like, all right, it's a cool human interest story for like 60 minutes on the first day. And it's like, but this is not, I'm not watching like serious basketball players.
Was this like the 800-pound guy that they had out
no,
on the court?
No, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
They got good nicknames for that kid.
Okay, you have to tell me the story of this kid.
He's a fat white kid. He's a center. They call him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I don't know what to tell you.
Was he in the March Madness games this year?
I think for BYU or something.
I've seen so many videos of it, and they were muted, and at times that I couldn't unmute to listen to it. So I've always wondered what is up with the 800-pound gorilla out there.
Indiana State, that's who it was.
I love the BYU.
Indiana State.
You're making me think of the Key and Peele sketch, the Which football one?
Oh yeah, the with the red.
their name. No, they're showing all of the new college players, and they have like the most crazy names. And then they're like, and Adam Smith from BYU.
Zach Wilson.
Right.
Literally.
They'd have some of the wildest names on there, and then, yeah. Adam.
Oh, that's a great Key and Peele sketch. That one's so funny.
Yeah, I don't like a bunch of randos winning. I want to see, like, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson playing each other in college, and that's just not the case anymore. You know?
Well, and that's because these kids are coming into the NBA, like,
they're coming to the NBA early before they're actually good, and they're
LeBron James fucked that for the whole world.
That's exactly right. And they're coming from Europe. The four best players in the world right now are all foreign players. The four best.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was never the case. It was always American. And now it's like Luka Doncic and
Nikola, and that's happening in baseball with like Japanese players now too, right?
To a lesser extent. It's yes. Well, the best player in the world is Japanese.
I've talked to some of my Japanese friends about like
Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. He might be a gambling addict. Did you hear about this?
Oh no.
Yeah. I kind of heard some rumblings about this like his manager or something.
Sure. So Shohei Ohtani is the face of baseball now. He's a Japanese player. He's Babe Ruth. He's a great pitcher and he's a great hitter. And so the Dodgers just signed him this year.
Is he as fat as Babe Ruth?
He's not. and he doesn't
drink
every night before the game.
Those fucking videos. Like, Babe Ruth looks like me.
It is crazy, yeah.
just this fat, unathletic fuck out there. Just hitting homers and running around the bases.
It is the great thing about baseball because, like, you can picture the players smoking a cigar during the game and it wouldn't feel out of place.
No.
Like, they could just do what they do with a cigar.
That's why it is the most American sport.
It is. It's as American as apple pie. It really is.
Right.
So the Dodgers just signed him, and it was this giant contract, the richest contract in the history of professional sports.
Wow.
$600 million for 10 years or something.
Jesus.
Although a lot of it was deferred, and so inflation, it's kind of complicated. But he goes to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are already kind of the evil empire of baseball right now, because they're the best team and they just spend all this money but he really wants.
Yeah, how do they have that much money to spend? I thought there was like a cap.
In baseball, there's no salary cap. There's no.
Oh, really?
No, there's a luxury tax, so you have to pay extra the more money you have on the books. But if you have the money to cover the luxury tax, you can just spend.
Who are you paying the luxury tax to?
To the league.
Oh, I see.
To the league. Okay. Which is why, like, the Pittsburgh Pirates or the Tampa Bay Rays have a tenth of the payroll that the Mets or the Yankees do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he signs with the Dodgers, and he makes his debut this year for the Dodgers, and all of a sudden a story breaks that his translator, who is apparently, according to reports, his best friend, like his confidant, like allegedly, I don't know if this report was verified. I heard that perhaps this was made up, but there was a clause in the contract that the Dodgers could not fire this guy. That's how important he was to Shohei.
Wow.
So there was a story that broke that Shohei Ohtani had transferred $5 million in cash to an overseas bookie to cover the gambling debts of his translator.
Wow.
Okay, so this story breaks. And what happens is that Ohtani's media people offer up the translator to ESPN for a sit-down interview. They conduct the sit-down interview. The translator says essentially the same thing that I just told you, repeats the same thing I just told you, that Shohei Ohtani, from his account, personally transferred $5 million in gambling debts to an overseas bookie in Japan.
Okay. So if we draw the line right there, if you draw the line right there, was there anything illegal done?
Well, it's an overseas book, so it's not legal right there. That's not legal. He was using...
So gambling is illegal in Japan.
I don't know what the situation is in Japan, but he was doing it from America.
I'm just telling you it is illegal in Japan.
It is illegal. Okay. Oh, okay.
Got it. All right. So definitely it is illegal for him to have transferred that money to an overseas bookie.
It's sketchy.
Even if it is just a private transaction,
Unclear. Unclear okay. if Otani, okay. unclear what the legality would be of Otani paying the debts. You know what I mean? Like if he's not one placing the bets. It's a sketchy thing.
I gotcha.
He offers him up. He does the interview. ESPN is ready to publish this interview. All of a sudden, Otani's people come out, his lawyers come out and say, wait a minute. Remember that story that we told you and the story that the translator also told you in the interview just a half hour after we told you that was the story? No, that didn't happen. Turns out that's not the story. The translator stole the money from Otani. The money was stolen from his personal account. Otani had no idea this money was being translated. We are now reneging on our own version of events that we told you and now pressing charges on the translator.
Wow.
So now the translator has been charged with theft and has been thrown under the bus. And apparently Otani had no knowledge of anything going on.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And the story somehow changed. Otani came out about a week later and did a press conference and essentially said that the translator was the one that relayed all of this false information to his representatives. And that he was doing this all under his nose. However, a lot of people in the baseball circle are not exactly buying this version of events.
No shit.
And a lot of people are suspecting that perhaps that this is Otani's gambling debt that his translator is being thrown under the bus for.
Well, and seeing how, like, kind of taboo gambling is in Japan.
In sports in general. I mean, I'm sure. But in the world,
You can't be a player and betting on games.
You are allowed to bet on other sports.
Do we know what he's betting on, though?
You're allowed to bet on other sports.
We also don't know if he's betting on fucking blackjack. Like, we don't know what the gambling debts are.
You are allowed to do that. But if you are a gambling addict, then they looked at this. The translator's salary is, I think, $400,000 a year, $300,000 a year, which is a considerable amount of money.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, a lot of gambling experts have been like, I have never met a bookie that would extend someone making $300,000 a year $5 million in debt, in credit.
Right.
I would never. There is no bookie on the planet that would allow you to do that when you only make $200,000, $300,000 a year. So at some level, they were probably aware, at the very least, that he has Otani's backing financially if things were to go south. Or worst case scenario, this is actually Otani making the bets, and the translator has just been thrown out there as a sacrificial lamb, which is possible.
So the player himself, he is allowed to make sports bets on, say, football?
Legal bets on other sports, yes.
Gotcha.
You're not allowed to bet on baseball, and you're certainly not allowed to bet on your own team.
Right.
And the
catch is, though, that this is an overseas illegal gambling operation.
That's a sketchy area, although I don't think that's really relevant if you bet on baseball.
Gotcha.
Because if you bet on baseball, I don't care how you did it.
Yeah.
Pete Rose, the all-time leading hits leader, was suspended for life and is out of the Hall of Fame because of that.
Yeah.
So the commissioner now is in this position where if they find something, it is really, 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 really bad for the sport.
Yeah.
Really bad. It's like if Michael Jordan was just, like, you know, busted for, you know, murdering his wife and her lover in a LA home, you know? Yeah. It's like that. Just hypothetically speaking.
Oh, so, really?
Or your gambling debts get your father killed and you have to play. And you have to play baseball.
Conspiracies, Rob.
The one sports conspiracy that I can't get past, mm-hmm. and I watched it probably within the last year, is the refs in the NBA, the documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
The fact that was big news at the time.
It was.
And it just kind of went away.
Yes.
Like, in one basketball season, it was gone.
The guy was literally fixing games and nobody was talking about it. Like, he literally had money on the games he was officiating.
Yes. And he was proven guilty of doing that.
Yes.
Served time for doing that.
Yeah.
And it's just a non-story.
Non-story.
Because everybody knows that the refs do this in every sport. It's like, dog bites man. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Great.
I know. But the fact that it was proven, prosecuted, and people served time for it.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
And there was a big NCAA one too in the 80s, yeah. I think, that yeah. Henry Hill from Goodfellas, the character from Goodfellas, was like arranged that essentially, yeah. the fixing of NCAA games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes. The really complicated thing, too, is that the leagues now, over the last 3 or 4 years, have really embraced gambling in a way that they were staunchly against for 60 years.
I don't think this sports betting empire they're building is going to be good for sports.
It's tough. It's really yeah. tough, because you're seeing ESPN is reporting on this as the ESPN bet sponsored by DraftKings sticker yeah. is on the bottom of the screen. I was watching Sports Center, and like literally there was a story about it was like International Gambling Addiction Day. Like it was like the day that you wow. it's like, all right, this is, you know, we did a story about all these kids that lives have been destroyed by gambling, and then sponsored by DraftKings on the bottom. yeah. And it's like, what am I watching? This is like a friggin', you know.
I wonder too, like, not only does this negatively affect sports, but how is this gonna affect sports reporting? And oh, the
yeah,
way
sure.
that,
yeah,
I mean, are they going to be manipulating statistics that they're reporting live out to people?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people think like now ESPN is in bed with they have their own betting app now, and they have reporters that I guess get information, private information from the teams ahead of time that they can insider trade on that information. And the question is, do they reveal it to the public before they reveal it to the sports book? You know?
Right.
And where, you know, where's the line there? And it's like the thing with Ohtani, it's like if he racked up a $5 million gambling debt, you're telling me not a single penny of that was on baseball? You're telling right. me a degenerate gambler. Seriously, if he's yeah. a degenerate gambler,
you're going to use chasing any losses, information.
Yeah. Right, to the point where you have that, you've racked up that much debt, are you telling me you're not dipping your toe into the sport that you have insider information on?
Right. Exactly.
You know? So it's and there was just another guy in the NBA this past week, it's a bench player for Toronto, that bet all the unders in his game and faked an eye injury midway through the game. And DraftKings was alerted to it because it was the most bet on prop bet of the night. And he bet all his unders. He bet like $20,000 on under points, under assists. And he happened to go down, you know, halfway through the game or whatever with an eye injury.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's not going to be good for the sport. It's bad. I mean, there's no upside.
No,
people who are going to make the most money are going to be not like regular people. It's going to be all the people at the top. And
yeah.
But I think that's why you also saw all the headlines after the bracket selection of all of these teams that got snubbed. They're throwing these dark horses in there to try to throw off sports books, I think.
You think? That's your theory?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's an interesting conspiracy, Rob.
I think this could open up room for some of these weird alternative leagues.
Yeah, it's
the XFL's coming back, boys.
Well, no, but like I think if some of these leagues take a staunch stance against this, they might attract some players who are just not interested in being in that kind of league, and
I don't know.
It would still take decades.
I don't know. The almighty dollar speaks.
Yeah.
And it's just like so many young people I know now that are sports fans. It's amazing. Like when my dad was a sports fan in the 70s and 80s or whatever, like you really only watched the games that were televised, and like gambling was a thing kind of off in the distance, and like, you know, it was a weird shady thing where you do like a local bookie or whatever, but
it was just betting amongst friends.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but it wasn't like, I mean, it was considered a taboo, like, you know, it was considered like a, and you literally like, it wasn't like NFL Red Zone and fantasy football. It's like every game is televised all the time. You see all the action. It was like, no, you collected baseball cards or whatever, and you checked the box scores in the paper, and maybe you listened on the radio. And it really was like for the love of the game. And it's like so many people I know now are only sports fans through gambling. Like they can only watch the games now and while gambling on it. Yeah, there we go. Rob's raising his hand.
I wouldn't give a shit about sports if it wasn't for a couple bucks on the game.
Yeah, no.
I am nowhere near a degenerate gambler, because I would say after our Super Bowl bets over the last couple of years, I'm ahead, and I've only made maybe $300 or $400.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not spending a lot of money every year. I'm not spending close to $5 million.
Yeah. But it's this thing now where they are attracting, first of all, they're targeting it at college kids.
Right.
College kids now are overwhelmingly the user base for DraftKings and FanDuel.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, giving them promos and capping their bets so they can only win a certain amount of money, some of these sites.
Yep.
You know, if you're like a serious gambler, like, you know, if you're treating gambling like a stock market, they just don't let you use their app.
Right.
Like, they just don't let you. Like, if you have like a 55% hit rate and you're betting hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, it's like they'll cap you. They'll cap your limits. College kids, though, you can bet all day. You can just degenerate live bet these props or whatever. So, yeah, it's a bit of a pickle.
Yeah, and I heard that even, like, DraftKings have, you can bet on individual pitches.
Yes.
Like, you can, is it a ball, a strike, a hit, a foul?
Yes, or each at-bat, yeah. You can bet on the result of any given at-bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, is this guy going to get a hit? Is he going to walk? Is he
gonna...
No, literally every second has been, everything.
Yeah, at some point, there's going to be, like, a... It's going to be a lot of pushback, I think.
Yeah.
What, 10 years, 20 years? When do you think it's going to get so bad that people are just done?
It's, well,
is it when
tough.
People stop betting? Or is it when there's a scandal? Is it going to take a scandal?
Well, this might be the scandal. We'll see if this is the scandal or not. They're doing everything they can, though, to make sure it's not a scandal.
Yeah, because there's too much money in it for any of the leagues for it to be a scandal.
The egg's going to crack.
They are they are trying their best to make sure there's a nice, clean buffer of deniability for this guy. But
the thing is, if this guy is a degenerate gambler, all it's going to take is another 2 years before it pops up again. And it's going to be a problem then. And every time it pops up, it's going to be a bigger problem. You know?
Yeah. It's tricky. It's tricky. There's a lot of money in it. And it might just, like, save these sports. That's the weird thing. It's like it might save the sports, but also, like, in what shape are you leaving the sports?
Yeah, at what cost? Like,
that's right. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
This podcast sponsored by DraftKings.com. Enter promo code TCR.
Did you guys ever catch the Quiet on Set documentary about Nickelodeon?
I've avoided this like the plague.
Oh, man.
I don't want.
I saw the clips and that's enough for me. I don't need to watch 4 hours.
It's intense. It's interesting. It's sad. Mm-hmm. It's tragic. It's
everybody's
so many
acting
things.
Like it's new news, and it has been well known and documented for decades.
The new news is just the Drake Bell thing, right?
Yeah, that's the new news is Drake Bell.
Yeah. That he was the anonymous accuser in 2004 or whatever, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which didn't he have some scandal about him?
He did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's had a rough
And he talks about it, right?
It.
He talks about it in the documentary, yeah.
Yeah, he's very open about it. He is still dealing with the emotional scars of what happened to him. I mean, to this day.
Yeah.
And it's wrecked his father. His father was also on the documentary, who was a very powerful... I mean, he gave a very powerful recollection of everything that happened, And this guy, the dad was talking about how this guy worked on the set of Growing Pains and saw videos of how him, this Brian Peck.
Not related to Josh Peck at all. Yes.
Was on the set of Growing Pains and was working very closely with Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. And the videos that dad saw were very similar to how he was acting around Drake.
Yes.
And it's just connecting all of these little dots that dad did an amazing job at.
And they told him, right, like, you know, you're aware this Brian Peck is gay or whatever, like, don't be homophobic, that kind
right.
of thing. Yeah.
Dad brought up his concerns, and he's like, well, you know, he probably didn't know he was gay, and you're just homophobic, and you need to hide, you know, you need to push those homophobic thoughts out.
Yes. Right.
And
I think I heard about Jerry Traynor, who is the older brother Spencer on iCarly.
Yes.
I heard that he was like he really tried to defend those kids. And like when he saw things happening, he stood in the way and
But then there was that weird interview with the other iCarly guy, the Dan Schneider. But remember, he sat down with Dan, and that was like odd because it was like,
Dan Schneider is odd. Like,
yeah, but the other guy I found even more odd. Like, I know
the guy who chose to interview.
Yeah, like Schneider's there with like his pubic hair beard or whatever, and looks strange. Like, whatever. Like, yeah, but
that guy works for Schneider, is what I found out.
Well, still,
yes, I think so. They work together on what? Something. I don't know, but somebody had said, that's why I didn't watch that interview with Dan, is because the headline I had seen is that they were like friends or work together still. And
no, but he's like sitting there like he's doing like the Tonight Show. Like he's like smiling and like, hello, Dan, welcome to, you know, your apology video for molesting children.
Yeah.
And it was like
well,
weird.
Well, but Dan has not been charged with or... I don't think even officially accused of molesting children.
Okay, well, it is. Yeah,
he had some very inappropriate
harassment or unsettling behavior. Yes.
And yeah, and he's left several generations of very scarred people. I'm sure it was all innocent.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a big difference.
I know. Just disclaimer.
Yeah, let him fucking sue us.
That'd be great.
Yeah, sue me, dude. I don't care.
There's a big difference. He was not accused or served any time.
For... sexual misconduct.
Yes, it was misconduct. Yes. And I think he admits that the massages that he demanded from women on set back in the day are wrong. No kidding.
So brave.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like those
I say
words.
They're wrong.
Like, obviously, you don't do that. What the hell? It's crazy that these industries can just go, like, unfettered. Just do whatever you want.
They are.
It's crazy.
They are. And it's rampant in...
How do the laws that apply to, like, offices... I guess offices even 30 years ago were not super great. But, like...
No.
Is it just that there's no HR in Hollywood? Like...
Well...
What's going on?
Here's the thing. The thing about these sets... Obviously, there's a kid's show, so it's kind of a different thing. Yeah. But... sets tend to be pretty randy environments in general because you have a bunch of artists and oftentimes they are doing like intimate stuff like in front of the camera. Like, you know, there's not many workplaces you go to where people pretend to like have sex in front of other people. It's not really a common thing. So it's like in general, they're very open, creative, expressive kind of places. And oftentimes like inappropriate behavior is kind of dismissed as, it's just Woody Allen being Woody, you know, it's just like very, you know, it's just how these artists are, you know, and you kind of just have to let it be in the pursuit of art. And it's like, you know, obviously on a kid's show, the standard should be much higher, but it's not.
Yeah.
See, I hate that argument though, of like the let the artist, they're an artist. You just got like, that's.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the same thing that happened off our office. Oh, he's our best salesman. Right. He's just, you know, he's just a weird guy.
Yeah,
you can't just
sure.
like excuse that behavior. It's crazy.
It's funny. All of those guys always end up being creeps, though. You know, all the ones that just kind of like, he's just being him. It's like, no, he's a weirdo.
Yeah.
But the thing about Drake Bell. So Drake Bell he was convicted, right, of sexting with an underage girl, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was just inappropriate.
There was never
messages.
Anything physical, but it was like
no,
yeah, right. No. And so, I think with him, it's like.
I mean, the drug abuse, the drug problems that he's had stems from all of this. That poor kid he went through hell.
And it's like he's owning up to the text thing. And it's like, I understand, like, it's bad and it's terrible. But it's also like you were raised in an environment at a young age, like whereas you were treated like a sexual object. And it's like. I mean, that's why you see a lot of these guys that end up going down for it. It's like they have a prior history of abuse themselves. And it's like when you're just in this environment where you're making more money than your parents.
Yep. You're the breadwinner for the family.
Yeah.
And that's what Drake even brought that up. He's like, I was bringing in the money for the family. So if I didn't play the game.
Right.
We didn't have money.
And he didn't control the money though. I mean, he was like earning it for it, you know? So it's this weird kind of middle ground where it's like, you're not growing up and like discovering the laws of the land for yourself. Like you're just you sexually or whatever, like you're not having your first kiss is not normal. Like it's like, none of the stuff that kids go through. It's like, he just didn't get a chance to go. He just fast forward through all of it.
Yeah.
And so I get why now he's kind of in this like weird hazy middle ground with things where he's probably kind of arrested development kind of.
For sure.
You know? So it's just a messy, it's a messy thing. These things are never clean. Yeah. But I didn't want to watch this thing just because I'm like, I can't do this for 4 hours. I can do like a half hour maybe.
It wasn't, I mean, the Drake stuff was heavy. The Drake stuff was super heavy. And that's episode 3.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm also sick of these documentary series. I've talked about this. I'm sick of them. Give it to me in 2 hours and then we're done. I'm not.
45 minutes.
Yeah. I'm not sitting here the whole time.
I will say this one was very fast paced in how they laid it out. They talked to the people. You got the relevant information, the good relevant information from the people that you needed to hear from. I think 4 episodes was about right.
Okay.
For this.
I'm sure they paced it really well. I also just don't want to see these like childhood stars.
Right.
In this context. Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do that. I mean, what's that going to do to me? I mean, like, I feel bad for them, but like, I don't want to fuck up my own psyche.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, seeing all the stars, the Amanda Show or whatever. That's another one though. Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes.
I mean, yeah, it's like that's my point. Is we've known about this for so long. Just look at her.
I mean, she is an like a absolute mess. Like it's bad. Mm-hmm.
And that is from Dan Snyder.
Yes,
that was the focus of the first 2 episodes.
Well, you got to remember Drake Bell was on that show with her.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's how
a lot of these stars were started on the Amanda Show.
Yeah.
And isn't that where Dan Schneider's career kind of really?
All that was the first one, I think. Schneider was the creator and I think a cast member on that. And I think that
it was always kind of, the Amanda Show always kind of creeped me out because it felt like somebody saw all that and then they like fixated on one girl.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what happened.
Yes. It's just so sad because you watch that show and it's like she's like just like this charismatic, like charming kid. And you know,
and they showed some of her audition tapes from, you know, pre Nickelodeon. And it's like, you can just see this kid is going to be a star. Like she just had it. She really just had
and
it.
It's just something about like, you see that. And then it's like, you see what she becomes as an adult. And it's like, that's not what life is supposed to do to you. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
It's like, you're not supposed to have it that, you know, it's like you have all this like joy and it's, it's just like awful.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a good documentary if you can handle the heaviness. Yeah. I will say that.
Yeah. And the people are mad at Josh now because he didn't like back up Drake or something.
No, I mean, there was a few days of that because I don't think Josh delayed his like posting of support on Instagram by a few days and people jumped all over that just because
God forbid he be thoughtful.
Right. Exactly.
God forbid.
Exactly. And Drake even made a post then the following day saying, listen, guys, ease up. He's done the right stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it just go easy on him. So
that I don't blame somebody for not wanting to get pulled back into this shit or like trying to move on with their life. I don't know.
No, it's like you have to make a public statement and it also has to be like timely. Like it has to be the right public statement. You can't get the words wrong or whatever. You can't use a phrase that's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because even here in the last couple of days, Melissa Joan Hart has been getting some flack for not saying anything.
So Clarissa.
Clarissa. So she was just recently on a podcast saying that her show was filmed at a completely different location. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't around all the toxicity of
that. Wasn't a Schneider show, was it?
No, it wasn't. Because that was all, I guess Clarissa was all filmed in Orlando while everything else was happening in L.A.
Oh, yeah, they had a big Orlando production back in the day.
Yeah, L.A. was the hub of all the Dan Schneider
albums. Remember they had Slime Time Live, Nick? Yeah, did you watch that shit in Orlando? That was the best.
Oh, yeah. God.
See, this is why I don't want to watch this. I don't want to revisit all the, you know.
I love the YouTube videos of the people documenting the abandoned Nickelodeon studios.
In Orlando?
Because there's still like the tile on the floor in some of the bathrooms from back in the day. There's still some orange like stuff printed around.
Can I like hop the fence and explore it myself?
I don't think so because it's all part of Universal Studios. Oh, and I think it's mostly office buildings now.
I see.
But you can still, people are still going in there and finding little There's some murals still up, I guess, from Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I always wanted to get slimed.
I know.
That was always my thing.
Yeah.
You ever see that video of Katy Perry getting slimed at the Kids' Choice Awards and it looks like it might kill her?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is this a bit? Like, they just... They shoot a cannon of slime up her nose or whatever. It's like, Jesus. That was the best. What was your favorite? What was your favorite Nickelodeon game show from back in the day, Rob?
Oh, Guts.
That was the best.
With Mike O'Malley.
The Aggro Crag.
Yeah. Because I loved Moe's accent.
Moe! Gotta go to Moe!
God, when I was a kid... And we, for the first time, went from cable to, like, the premium access channels.
Got a cable box, yeah.
Yeah, and I realized that, like, there was a 2000-something channel with all of the old Nickelodeon game shows.
Nick
that changed
Gass.
My life.
Nick Gass. Games and sports.
Changed my effing life.
Wild and Crazy Kids with Omar Gooding.
Double Dare.
Double Dare.
Double Dare was really good.
All the Double Dares were great. Double Dare 2000.
Family Double Dare.
I liked The Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Legend Temple.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Green Monkeys. Good. Big Green Monkeys guy myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, Big Green Monkeys guy. That was always my team I rooted for.
Can you name the other ones?
You got the purple snakes. Silver snakes. The orange. There was orange. There were hyenas, I think. I don't remember. I don't know. Silver snakes, green monkeys, red.
Jaguars? Yeah.
Might be.
Okay.
The blue.
Wombats.
The blue barracudas.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
green.
The orange.
Orange. Iguanas?
Iguanas.
Hey.
Nice.
The silver snakes was correct. And the purple.
Is it a feline?
Nope.
It's not, huh? Purple.
Parrots,
of course, the alliteration. Yeah. Great show. Olmec?
Had to look it up.
Name? Olmec?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where Otev comes from.
Yeah. It's just a ripoff of Legend.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, tremendous. You watch Deal or No Deal Island yet, Rob?
No, I haven't. No, I'm big into the British game show The Wheel.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. You're spinning all day on the wheel. Forgot about that. You're getting your revolutions in.
The Wheel.
Yeah, I have.
Britain has some bangers of game shows.
Yeah, they are keeping the spirit of Nick Gass alive and well over the years in the UK.
I really think that Great Britain is still stuck in the 80s in terms of how, like, our TV viewing in the 80s in America is now the TV viewing of the current times in the UK.
Yeah, but it's been that way since, like, the 40s in the UK.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird.
Well, British humor just is always the same. It is universal. That's not the word I want to use. It never changes. Timeless. I wouldn't say timeless. Not to the rest of the world. Stuck in time, frozen in time.
Sure. Evergreen.
No, that implies good.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, the Wheel is a new game show over there. It's not the Wheel of Fortune.
No.
It's nowhere near the Wheel of Fortune.
When is Pat Sajak leaving Wheel of Fortune, by the way?
I think probably this summer.
Because I think Ryan Seacrest is taking over, right?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. They got rid of Vanna.
No, Vanna's still around.
No, they fired her.
No.
I thought they got rid of Vanna White. They absolutely fired Vanna.
No.
Fired her? Why would they fire her? What has she done wrong?
They didn't renew
her
contract.
They did. She's around. Yeah, she's coming back.
Okay. I thought that they had...
When are they going to give Maria Menounos her own game show already? Can we just get on with it? Give my girl Maria some love.
Give her The Price is Right.
There you go.
Yeah. That's a great question, Nick.
She's perfect. Fuck Ryan Seacrest. I'm done with him.
Maria Menounos has never hosted a game show, has she?
Except for the newbie quizzes. The little...
at the gas station.
Yeah, the movie trivia quizzes before. Or, yeah.
Did you know that Maria Menounos is born in Madagascar?
What the fuck?
And apparently she hosted the challenge.
Is that a game show?
Yeah, the MTV challenge?
Yeah,
or maybe co-hosted it or something.
Oh, it's MTV? That's not a real shit.
She also hosted a show called Clash of the Choirs. I remember this show from like 2007.
Ugh. Yeah.
Born in Madagascar.
This is like your ideal woman. Nick.
Nick is obsessed with her.
I just love her, but no. Menounos.
He's obsessed.
I wouldn't say ideal.
She seems pretty talentless.
That's why I'm fascinated with her.
How dare you?
Go listen to her laugh. I don't know if you've ever heard her laugh.
I think I have heard her laugh.
Nick is just obsessed with her because, she's just everywhere. She just follows him. She's just on every screen.
I go to the movies, she's on the screen. I go to pump gas, she's on the screen.
Yeah, she's everywhere.
We absolutely have listened to her laugh before because the video is already been played.
Did you know she's a former professional wrestler?
What the fuck was she doing in Madagascar? What?
Her parents were there, actually.
I know she's an alma mater. She's an alumni of my alma mater. Emerson College. I know
Emerson.
Ooh. Is that really your alma mater?
No.
Does that count?
No. I mean, it was basically like a vacation. That's how long I was there.
It says here on Wikipedia that she was born in Medford, Massachusetts.
I saw she's Madagascarian. Maybe she's Greece. Greek.
Yeah. Okay. Her name comes from Greek.
Longtime WWE fan and has made several appearances with WWE. Her first appearance was October 2009. Oh, okay. Oh, no, she made her ring debut that night in a 6-diva tag team match.
Weird.
Yeah, her team was victorious. A highlight of it was Menounos slapping the much larger stature Phoenix. Nick, how much would you get paid to be slapped by Maria Menounos?
I wouldn't pay for that.
You wouldn't pay for that?
Yeah, you would. Shut up. Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
Smack you around a couple times?
You have an erection right now.
No.
I see your arms crossed trying to keep your boner down.
Hands up. Nothing.
She's a fascinating lady, this Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
She was a part of the Eurovision Song Contest?
What?
Or she hosted the Eurovision Song Contest.
I'm telling you, she's fucking everywhere, though. You just can't. She just pops up when you don't expect it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love her. Big fan.
I don't know her, I guess.
What?
I mean,
she needs to host a game show, though. It just seems like a real game show. Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something.
Give her the wheel, the American version. Of
no,
the
they
wheel.
Brought the guy over in the American version. They brought the same guy.
I know.
I love it when they do that. I love when they import a show that Americans are going to hate and then they give it like the most British ass fucking host. That's my favorite thing.
The problem with The Wheel is that the way it's paced over there, it's on a TV channel that has no commercial breaks.
Oh, sick.
So it's paced in a way, the pacing is in a way that there's no commercial interruption.
Right.
You couldn't do that here.
Oh,
whenever they bring game shows to America, they're worse. Unless they originate here and they're successful. But like when you bring a British show here, it's always worse because of that. It feels fast. Like,
I'll tell you what, though, they brought Millionaire over and they got Reed to do it. That was the key.
Right.
You need to get like an all time great host in order to make it work.
Yeah.
You know,
I always feel like the pacing is like, all right, and off to commercial. It's like, I feel like they're rushing everything they're doing.
Yeah.
The thing about Millionaire, though, is that there are some natural spots for ad breaks.
Yes.
With The Wheel, there are really no natural spots for, like, planned natural spots. Like, there are spots that you could squeeze commercial breaks into, but not in a regular interval, you know? So that also makes it complicated. Fucking
that's tricky,
American
yeah.
television and their commercials.
Yeah. I want them to bring all the hosts from Britain over, though. I want the Top Gear guy to do Millionaire over here.
Yeah.
What's his
Wouldn't
name?
Wouldn't that Jeremy Clarkson?
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson. Yeah.
I want him to, because he's great. I love the UK clips of that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy Clarkson is just awesome. Like, he's just a great, fun kind of person.
People over there hate him, I think.
No, they don't.
I don't think
they do, actually.
I I don't think he's well liked.
I think he's kind
they
of
call dick. Him a knob.
Yeah.
No, he's an asshole for sure. He's an asshole for sure, but
audiences are hot for him. Oh, yeah. You know who's another one they brought over? They brought over the Weakest Link host from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a stroke of genius to do that.
It was because her being mean was fantastic.
But it started the cliche of the mean Brit.
Right.
With Simon Cowell too. They brought Simon over.
Yep.
Yeah.
The lady that hosted The Weakest Link just had recently taken over a staple in Britain called Countdown.
Right. Of course, with the clock and the math and everything.
Yep, the clock, the math, the words and numbers.
Yes.
She took over hosting for that and was fired very quickly because she was not very nice to people.
Well, that Countdown, show is calling for it, though, right?
We're right. But the Countdown, here's the thing with Countdown. It's on at 3 p.m.
Right.
And it's a staple over there.
Yeah,
it's
not exactly John Rickles hour at 3:00.
No.
Yeah.
No, but it's on at 3 p.m. So you can tell who watches it.
Sure.
It's old people.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with the Queen of Mean.
Right. But also that show gives me the vibe of being in a classroom. And I kind of feel like a professorial, you know, shit talker is kind of the vibe I want.
But they have so many of those types of shows over there. They've got things called University Challenge, where it's just fucking impossible questions.
It is amazing that, like, you can just do a show with people sitting at a desk doing math problems over there without any music or fanfare. And it's huge hit.
They've got music. It's the famous Countdown.
Well, I got the Countdown, but other than that, it's like it's not like a glitzy, glamorous, you know. It's not The Price is Right with the Showcase Showdown or anything.
No, that's true. That's true. It's there it is. That's they the do this 4 times an hour, 4 times a half hour. You just sit here for 30 seconds and listen to it.
And you watch guys like scribble down math on a piece of paper.
They don't edit this out.
No,
the 30
I know.
Seconds,
it's the best.
The 30 seconds rolls.
Right. And you're watching them. There's no narration. There's nothing.
No, no. And then the last 5 seconds, it really starts to ramp up here.
Oh, are they going to make room for that 8? Hurry up. They got to carry the 1. I mean, it's amazing. I love that. That was like Match Game was the same thing. They would take 20 minutes to write down their answers, and that was the whole show. You'd watch Brett Summers scribble things. TV used to be so good.
It did.
What happened to television? The best.
Yep. Well, does that do it for us?
I think it does. This is the final show, though, before the eclipse trip.
And I hope to see everybody there.
Yes. At the very least, Nick and I will be there to give you
Yes.
Hugs.
Yes.
Maybe I'm not.
I don't know about hugs.
I can't promise.
Not sure about hugs. Maybe a handshake. Yeah.
I'm not a touchy-feely
Maybe
person,
a photograph and an autograph for a small charge.
I don't think anybody wants that.
A small fee.
Can you imagine if we showed up charging a small fee for pictures and autographs?
We're at like a folding table with a backdrop.
Oh,
moving
my
along,
God.
People. It's a long line.
Oh, my God. How fucking into ourselves are we?
I would hate myself if that was the kind of person
too.
I was. Oh,
I
my
would
God.
Too.
Can't wait to see everybody there.
Please, everybody, drive safe. Use your head. Have a great week. See you there.
Nailed it.